Welcome to Security Sales and Integration Security Speaking Podcast. I'm Scott Goldfein, Editor-in-Chief of SSI. I thank you for listening as each week we discuss the trends, issues, opportunities, challenges, technologies, and more affecting today's electronic security industry professional. As a reminder, the program is now available via iTunes as well as securitysales.com, so tell a friend. My guest today is Bob Dolph, who has more than 35 years of diversified electronic security industry experience. He served as a technician, trainer, salesman, manager, director, consultant, and owner for companies like ADT, Sonatrol, Ingersoll Rand, Lockheed Martin, Security One, and National Guardian. Bob also regularly participates on various technical committees with groups like ULCIA and CSAA, and for the past 10 years, we've been very fortunate to have Bob as our Tech Talk columnist for the magazine and also a features contributor. Bob, thanks so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here, Scott.
Bob, would you say that from your vantage point, you have more or less confidence in today's electronic security industry technician to get the job done right the first time as compared to 5, 10, 15 years ago? What are some of the dynamics at work here, and how do they affect customer satisfaction and the security company's bottom line?
Well, Scott, unfortunately, I'd have to say right now I've got less confidence in our security techs, and it's not totally their fault. The industry right now is being pressured by very rapidly moving technology, the IP technology, the digital technology in general, and that immersion from the analog industry. As you know, I grew up in that industry, and 10, 15 years ago, we had what I would consider steady but stable growth in areas such as transitioning from microwave detection to PIRs, and also the steady but progressive growth, exciting growth of digital dialers. Today, you've got the technician out there. He's not only faced with all this changing technology, but he's also faced with the expectations, the technology expectations of our customers. They have the capability today, as they did not have many years ago, to get thoroughly educated via the internet on all the latest technology trends, and so meeting those expectations has also been a great challenge for the technician. So I would say right now I've got a little less confidence in what the technician can do as far as for the customer.
And putting training aside for a moment, which is a huge issue unto itself, what do you believe are the top two technology-related challenges facing security professionals today, and how can they most effectively deal and overcome them?
Well, kind of along the same pattern, Scott, the emergence and the merging, actually, of these two worlds of digital and analog technology, it's kind of created what I would say the perfect storm coming up here. We have the pressure to put digital cameras in, but yet keep the costs down. They obviously would go very well on networks, but customers have existing coax systems that were very expensive to install initially. So we have to convert these products, and we have to try to have them go over existing coax systems. On the other hand, too, as far as the technologies, again, we have young techs that are coming into the industry and working in it, and they have a good foundation in IT technology and in digital technology, but they lack the some of the old-time skills as far as knowing Ohm's Law, let's say. And actually, there's ironically, they need to know this in some areas, such as power over Ethernet. So this is becoming a challenge there. Also, the push of this new technology. We've seen the problem when things move too fast with VoIP. We have industries that we have to merge with now as far as the entertainment industry and things like that. And they're pushing out the VoIP, and we have our customers that find out that this technology is not reliable for their alarm communications. So I would consider these as two of the two of the most challenging areas.
Well, we've been sort of dancing around it, but addressing it directly right now. Time and time again, you hear training is needed and or lacking in our industry, and that's all well and good, but Could you specifically highlight what type of training do you think specifically is most needed today, as well as some possible sources?
Well, Scott, as far as a baseline mastering of the skills, companies have to come up with good training programs in their companies. I know there's an extra cost with this, but in the long run it pays off. They need to set up some training core requirements for their technical people. I'll give you a good example of a program there, and that's the IQ program, installation quality program. They have some very good metrics that you can use for training the people. Another big area that I see that is overlooked a lot in the technical field and with our techs is the improvement of soft skills. And these are skills that are non-hardware related, communication skills, management skills, organizational skills. SIA has a very good project management certification course that that our listeners may want to look at. And so, and also training the customer. A while back, I did a seminar for CSAA on telling ain't training. It's actually a book by Harold Stalovich, and we have the assumption in our industry that if someone is a what we call subject matter expert, is very knowledgeable on a product that or on a technology, that they can immediately be a trainer, and that's not true. Trainers need to have to be trained on how to train. I know that sounds a little redundant, but there's organizations such as the American Society of Training Development, ASTD, that's a very good reference there. So we have a long way to go in our training areas, hands-on training, mentoring. I'm a real strong believer in that if you get the technician to actually do what they're being taught rather than just lecturing to them, that they're going to learn a lot better. In fact, ironically, Scott, I've got a program coming up this fall that's called MDCC, Mastering DC Circuits, and it's going to involve some hands-on capability for the attendees. So there's a lot of things. Blended learning is a term we use in the industry where we bring a lot of experiences together. It's not just one delivery platform. It's a variety of platforms. That could be some online training along with some in-house training. And one organization does a very good job at one of these elements of blended learning, and that's the MBFAA with their NTS, their National Training School. There's just such a variety of things that need to get covered here.
Well, that's certainly a lot of great recommendations and resources. Thanks, Bob. And, you know, knowing you as I have for quite a while, I know you to be quite a techie and enjoy discussing industry technology with you. Could you give me your top three developments in terms of what your expectations are? That might have you sort of salivating, rubbing your palms, you know, right now when you look at them. And, you know, sometimes I know that these areas are really cool and fun, but also do they have any practical applications? So what's out there right now that has you excited?
Well, actually, I've been looking at a few areas, and I've kind of been following, and I think this is what manufacturers need to do. I've been following what's happening with technology in the popular consumer sector, and then also what our capabilities are and what we can be doing in the security area. And one of them that really jumped out at me this year, in fact, I queried a few of the manufacturers, and unfortunately didn't really get much of a favorable response on it, but I think it has a lot of potential. I do know a couple that are working on it, but and this is Wi-Fi connectivity. Everything you get these days that's, you know, if you get yourself, I just recently got a little netbook. If you get anything to do with any sort of computer technology, it's got built into it now Wi-Fi connectivity. Okay, why can't the manufacturers have a panel right now that's got Wi-Fi connectivity? How much easier would that be for the installer to be able to put that panel up on the wall and immediately have a connection with what almost every consumer now is getting in their home, and that's a Wi-Fi router, so or a wireless router. So that's one area that I'm kind of like waiting to see and hope it evolves faster. And I know the manufacturers have a challenge in this area because it is moving quickly. Cellular communications. A lot of us, again, because of, like we mentioned earlier about the VoIP instability and just the rapid movement, cellular is becoming more and more dependable. However, as you've seen in my previous articles, I've talked about this a little bit. I've only seen one manufacturer recently that has been able to state that they actually have anti-jamming technology within their cellular communications. Anybody that's seen the market these days with jammers, they're cheap, they're inexpensive, and I think you're going to start seeing, as we rely more and more on a particular communication technology like cellular, you're going to see jamming of these devices, just kind of like in the past we saw the cutting of the POTS lines. A third one that I think is really exciting is video analytics. It was kind of the prima donna a couple years ago. It's starting to come into play now. It's showing that I'm seeing video analytics now used for fire and smoke detection. I think that's very exciting. Also seeing where we're going to eventually down the road, I think we're going to be seeing here soon. It's available, but again, it's not mainstream. And that is just basically high-resolution images of an entire area and then using digital pan, tilt, and zoom technology to maneuver around and doing it, going away from the old mechanical PT and Z configurations. Eventually, and I hope this is sooner than later, we're going to see one sensor in an entire area, and that's just going to be a camera that's going to be able to handle, with video analytics, a lot of tasks.
Very cool stuff, Bob. A little more exciting these days than just talking about pet immunity and the like from some years ago. Amazing. Well, let's say, Bob, I have this technology or whatever else may have you. It could be something even fairly straightforward. But if I'm a manufacturer and I come to you, could you give me the top three mistakes or miscalculations that you think suppliers frequently make when they're attempting to develop and market something in this industry?
Well, I'd say probably one of them is they really, I don't think, do enough of their homework in maybe with focus groups or things like that, and really listening to not only the end user but the technician. I'm always impressed with companies that even do just the little things. There was a manufacturer a while back that realized that technicians, when they installed a motion sensor, a PIR, on a ceiling, that it, you know, the technician had to have a third hand to hold the screws and put them in. So they decided to make a mounting plate that would retain the screws, so they'd be all in place as soon as they put it up. Sounds like, you know, it's not rocket science. And these are little things that make products easier to install. They need to make products easier to understand, learn, and install. And better communications. Again, I was talking a little bit about the focus groups. Need to get this feedback from the customers and need to apply it. I still get frustrated, and I know the techs I talk to, that there's just these little things, and there's more of this that can be done with their products to make them available. And also information. Got so many resources available. I still go such as websites and documents and online tutorials, a video. Everybody's got video these days online with YouTube, and it's just I don't think manufacturers are making enough use of these resources, even like what we're doing today, podcasts. I'm starting to see them, but again, a lot of times when I do see information from manufacturers, it's more of a sales marketing spin rather than actual what I would consider quality content about the product and how to install and service that product.
Mm-hmm. So again, it's the little things that tend to make those real big differences, and I think maybe they overthink it sometimes, huh?
They do, and again, just being sensitive to the groups, both the users, the even distributors, how they package the products and stuff. But again, it just flows right down the whole channel, and those there's just so many resources available. I find it frustrating at times. I go to a website and I have to dig and poke and ask extra things, extra information. It's real easy for me to go to a lot of websites and get the slick, glossy picture and everything, but the technician particularly wants to know, well, how does it work? How well does it work? How easy can I install it? How the dealer wants to know, how can I be more productive with this product? A while back I showed you some tools that different manufacturers were making and providing that make it easier now for doing surveys with, as an example, using GPS technology and using Google Maps to be able to lay out larger systems quickly. These are exciting, but again, they need to be, there needs to be more maturity that comes along with these, and it's just, there's a lot of exciting things happening. It's just that I'd like to see them happen sooner, Scott.
Well, Bob, that about concludes our time, but great talking to you as always, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to be with you, Scott. Thanks.
I'd like to remind listeners, for comments or questions, please email me directly at scott.goldfine@securitysales.com, and thank you for listening.